Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
A couple of weeks ago, we ended, as we talked about the Spirit in Jesus, we ended with His ascension. And His ascension is kind of the linchpin. It's the connecting event from the Holy Spirit on Jesus to the Holy Spirit in the church. It was Christ leaving and returning to the Father that was the unleashing of the Holy Spirit in the church. Jesus left, but just as He promised His followers on the night that He said to remember Him, He said, I'm going to send another like me. And He says that when that other comes from God, that they and we would be able to do greater things even than He had done. That is a statement that still baffles us. But it's what Jesus said about this one that God had promised, that He had poured out on Christ, and Christ poured out on His church. And Luke wrote not only the gospel that bears his name, but he also wrote the book of Acts. And he begins the book of Acts with this sentence. In my first book, he's referring back to the gospel of Luke. In my first book, I told you about everything that Jesus, what's the next word? Began to do and to teach. If you're following along in your outline, I want you to circle that word began. The Gospel of Luke and the other Gospels along with it tell about everything Jesus began to do and to teach. So Luke wrote an entire Gospel just telling what Jesus began to do. Now, we think of it as the full, complete story of Jesus because it leads to His death and His resurrection. And that is the work that He did to accomplish our salvation. But it wasn't the end. It was just the beginning. The Gospel of Luke and the other Gospels telling all about Jesus are just the beginning of what Jesus was doing. That means, for Luke, that Acts is a continuation of what Jesus began to do and to teach. But we get to the 11th verse of the first chapter of Acts, and Jesus isn't there anymore. He's ascended back to the Father, which leaves us with a little bit of a question. If the gospel was telling us what Jesus began to do and teach, but Acts is going to tell us more about what Jesus continues to do and teach, but Jesus is gone, then who's doing the work that Jesus began to do? And that connects us back to the promise that He said He's going to send the Holy Spirit. And we're going to be able to do the things that Jesus began to do. And so through the Holy Spirit in the church. And I want us to think about it that way today. The Holy Spirit comes and dwells in each one of us. That is a specific promise and reality in Scripture. But when the Bible talks about it, it talks about us. As Americans, we talk about me. But the Bible talks about us. And so I want to use that language intentionally this morning. The Holy Spirit in the church. The Holy Spirit in those whom God has saved. The Holy Spirit in those who gather and remember. The Holy Spirit in those who've been called out of the world and into the kingdom of God. Jesus, who possessed the Spirit, poured that Spirit out on the church. The first group was that 120 who were in the upper room. But that's not where it ended. That's where it began. Then it was on 3,000 Jews who heard the gospel and believed it and were baptized and received the Spirit. And then it was poured out on Cornelius, and he's significant because he was the first non-Jew. He was the first one of us, the first Gentile to receive the Holy Spirit. And from there, the Holy Spirit has been poured out on thousands upon thousands and upon millions all around the world. And the work that Jesus began to do is continuing to be done in the church through the Holy Spirit. Amen? And it's going to continue until Jesus returns. And so as we've looked at the Holy Spirit so far, we've seen a progression. We have seen a movement. And if you want to follow along in your outline, I think this is the first blank. First, we saw that the Spirit was with Israel in the Old Testament. And we began by talking about God's Ruach that we read about in the very second verse of Genesis chapter 1. God's Ruach. It means wind or breath or spirit. It is God's invisible animating energy. And we saw that the Holy Spirit was with Israel. And he came upon specific people for a specific time to accomplish a specific task. But a promise was made and a future was envisioned when God would send his Holy One, the Messiah. And when he came, the Holy Spirit would be poured out on him. And that man was Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God. And the Holy Spirit was poured out on him. And so the next move we see is the Spirit on Christ. He was with Israel, but he was on Christ in the Gospels. And that was the first promise that we read about in Isaiah and other prophets. But there was a second promise that went along with it, that when the Messiah came and accomplished the work that God sent him to do to pay that debt so that we could be free of our sin, then we would be ready vessels so that God could pour his Spirit out on all of his people, not just a few of his people, on all of his people. And so we see today the Spirit in the church. He was with Israel. He was on Jesus. He is in the church. Started in Acts. It continues today. It all began on the day of Pentecost. And I want to spend a little time here because, again, there is not one detail in this event that wasn't intentionally designed by God Almighty, who was and is to come. So I want us to read from Acts chapter 2. I didn't put it on the screen. I just want you to listen. You probably know this, but just hear Acts chapter 2. On the day of Pentecost, 7 weeks after Jesus' resurrection, the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm in the skies above them, and it filled the house where they were meeting. And then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. And godly Jews from many nations were living in Jerusalem at that time. When they heard this sound, they came running to see what it was all about. And they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were beside themselves with wonder. How can this be? They exclaimed. These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in the languages of the lands where we were born. Here we are, Parthians and Medes and Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, the province of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the areas of Libya toward Cyrene. visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabians. And we all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done. And they stood there amazed and perplexed. What can this mean? They ask each other. What a scene. What a moment. All these believers gathered in this room, this upper room, waiting there because Jesus told them to wait. He didn't say how long, but he said to wait. He said for the Holy Spirit, but he didn't tell them what that was going to look like or what that was going to be like. They didn't know how long to wait. They didn't know exactly what they were waiting for. And then suddenly, as they are gathered there on that holy day of assembly for Israel, something happens and it sounds like a windstorm in the house and all across the city. Like a windstorm is filling the room. And they looked in at each other in astonishment and amazement. And as they looked, they saw what looked like flames or tongues of fire that began to settle on each one of them. And then all of a sudden they began to be able to speak in languages that people from other parts of the world spoke. Languages that were represented in Jerusalem that day because of this feast. And I want us to look and see just exactly what God was doing, what he is still doing when he put his Holy Spirit in the church. And the first thing is, the Holy Spirit in the church enables the church to experience God's presence. And we see that in the wind. God's presence in the wind, the Spirit, the Ruach. All through the Old Testament, we saw that that wind represents the Spirit of God, the presence of God. And in Ezekiel 37, we saw that God tells Ezekiel in that valley of dry bones, come, Ezekiel's supposed to speak these words, come, O breath, Ruach, from the four winds, Ruach. And God says, I will put my Spirit, Ruach, in you. Not with you, in you. And that is exactly what happened in Acts chapter 2. A wind blew from God and he filled his church with the Spirit. He wasn't just with them. He wasn't just on them. He was in them. And they experienced the presence of God like only about 100 people had ever experienced in the history of the world. Nothing like it had ever happened before. The presence of God. Let's keep looking at what happened here. The Holy Spirit, secondly, enables the church to obey God's commands. The Holy Spirit enables us to obey. Remember those tongues of fire. And remember that it all happens on Pentecost. Pentecost was one of three holy, holy days of convocation, of assembly. For Israel, it occurred 50 days after the Passover, and it commemorated the giving of the law at Sinai, because Israel left Egypt on Passover and they went to Sinai, and they were there 50 days later. And in Exodus chapter 19, God's people, Israel, freed from Egypt slavery, they're gathered at the foot of this mountain, and it is a terrifying, awe-inspiring moment. There is this powerful thunderstorm that is taking place on the mountain. And there is thunder and there is lightning, and this dark and dense cloud settles on Mount Sinai. And the people see the lightning and hear the thunder and experience the cloud. And in its midst, they keep hearing this long blast of ram's horns. And the Bible says they trembled. They were terrified at the presence of God. Moses led them out from the camp to meet with God. They stood at the foot of the mountain. All of Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord had descended on it in the form of fire. The smoke billowed into the sky like smoke from a brick kiln, and the whole mountain shook violently as the blast of the ram's horn grew louder and louder. Moses spoke, and God thundered his reply, and the Lord came down on top of Mount Sinai and called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses climbed the mountain. And it was there that God gave Moses the law, the commandments. And the very next scene is Israel worshiping a golden calf. After this incredible, incredible event that they've just experienced, as God came down and as he gave them the law, and the first law says, don't worship any other gods. The very next thing they do is they go and they worship another god. They could not obey what God had said to do. And what is God going to do? Well, it's a horrible story, because God is ready to wipe out the entire nation and start over. And Moses intercedes and he pleads on their behalf. And God says, okay, here's what you do. And Moses went out and he said, who is on the Lord's side? And the Levites ran to Moses. And then Moses said, here's what God says to do, Levites. You take your swords and you go among the people and you kill your brothers and your friends because of their sin. And it says that on that day, 3,000 men died because they rebelled and they disobeyed. 50 days after the Passover, God wrote his law on tablets of stone. They rebelled and they disobeyed him, and 3,000 men died. And about 1,500 years later, on Pentecost, 50 days after the Passover lamb was sacrificed, God wrote his law on their hearts. And they believed and they obeyed. And guess what? 3,000 were saved. Do you see what God is doing? Do you see how he is wrapping this up? He's finishing this out. He is fulfilling what we didn't even know was there to fulfill. God, through the Holy Spirit, enables his church to obey him. And the third thing is that God, the Holy Spirit, enables the church to fulfill God's purpose. And here I want us to look at these languages. We've seen the wind, we've seen the fire. Here I want us to look at these languages. God, the Holy Spirit, enables the church to fulfill God's purpose. These tongues of fire settle on those in the room, and suddenly they are able to speak in different languages. And I want you to go back to Genesis chapter 11. The first thing we have recorded, basically, after the flood, and the nations have begun to regather and to rebuild. Noah and his family have populated the earth, and the nations begin to come together, and they began to use their common language and their common abilities, that they decide basically they're going to become God themselves. They're going to be able to reach to the highest heavens. And so what does God do at the Tower of Babel? He makes them begin to babble, and he confuses their languages, and he scatters them across the face of the earth, speaking different languages. Now, the very next thing that God does in Genesis chapter 12 is he calls one man, Abraham, and he makes him a promise. And he says that through you, Abraham, and through your seed, through your descendant, I am going to bless all the nations. All the nations will be blessed through you. And that descendant of Abraham, Jesus, the Messiah, he fulfilled that promise. And in Acts chapter 2, we see representatives from the nations gathered in Jerusalem, speaking many different languages, but yet God brings them together because the apostles and the others in the room are able to speak their languages so that they can hear the gospel of Jesus and believe and become a part of God's family again. The saving of the nations began on Pentecost. Pentecost was a commemoration of the law being given at Sinai. It was another commemoration. It was an agricultural festival, and it was the time during the season that they came and they bought their first fruits from their fields and their orchards and their animals, and they dedicated them to God. They gave their first fruits of their harvest to God. to God. And what we see among those 3,000 that day are the first fruits of God's harvest. It's just the beginning. It's not the end. The harvest is continuing. It started in Jerusalem. It spread to Judea and Samaria. It has gone to the ends of the earth, and his harvest is continuing today. It is the first fruits of the harvest that we see in Revelation. When people from every nation and every tribe and every tongue will be gathered around the throne singing praises to the Lamb. And I want you to stand, and I want us to join them as we sing that salvation belongs to our God.
Salvation belongs to our God, who sits upon the throne, and unto the Lamb be praise and glory, wisdom and thanks, honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God forever and ever. Amen. And we the redeemed shall be strong in purpose and in unity, declaring aloud praise and glory, wisdom and thanks, honor and power and strength. Be to our God. Be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God forever and ever. Amen.
Be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God forever and ever. Amen.
Be to our God forever and ever.
Be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God forever and ever. Amen.
Be seated. One day we're going to sing that in heaven, around the throne of God, with all of those who since the day of Pentecost have put their faith and their hope and their trust and their life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the meantime, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, we will continue to do the things that Jesus began to do and to teach. This incredible moment in world history, because that's what Acts chapter 2 was, an incredible moment in the history of the world. And the Holy Spirit just made some seismic shifts in the fabric of the universe on that day. He shifted from a few of God's people to all of God's people receiving the Holy Spirit. Just a few in the Old Testament, just a few specific people for a specific time, for a specific task, but the promise has been fulfilled, and now all of God's people have all of God's Spirit all of the time in us. That was a seismic shift. Everyone present in Acts 2 chapter 4, all who believed and were baptized in Acts chapter 2 verse 38, And not only is it a shift from a few people to all God's people, but it's a shift from limited power to unlimited power. They were able to do a little bit for a specific time and a specific task. It was limited, but it is unlimited in us. God's Spirit is unlimited. We see it on that very day. We see ordinary, uneducated disciples who, through the power of the Spirit, are able to speak another language. We see Peter, who, God bless Peter. I love Peter. But we see Peter, who has been a bumbler so much of his life, boldly preaching the crucified and resurrected Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit moves 3,000 of them to be saved. And as you keep going through Acts, you get the disciples doing the very things that Luke chapter 10 told us Jesus did, and he sent them out to do, to preach the gospel, to heal the sick, to cast out the demons, and to extend the kingdom of God with power in the world. And the other shift we see is a shift from one nation to all the nations. God picked one nation. He picked one man, Abraham. He formed a nation out of him. He called them Israel. And it was through them that he was going to bring, and that he did bring, the Messiah, Jesus. But it was not just for that one nation. It is for all the nations and all the people. And in Jerusalem that day, there were Jewish men from all the nations and regions surrounding the Mediterranean. Basically, for them, the entire known world. And they went back to their homelands, and they shared this powerful, wonderful good news. And it has never stopped spreading from that day till this day. It's never stopped spreading. It is still spreading. And a day is going to come when it will be the only kingdom that is left. Every other king and power and nation and kingdom will be destroyed. And the Lord Jesus Christ will be the king who rules over all of the heavens and all of the earth. But that's what got started. And that is what is still happening. And it's all because God keeps his promises. He sent Jesus as the Messiah. He lived a perfect life. He gave himself as a sacrifice. And God washes away the sins of those who will put their faith in him. And then he fills us with the Holy Spirit. And we continue doing what Jesus began to do and to teach. The very Spirit that enabled Jesus to do and say and accomplish everything that he did, said, and accomplished. That very Spirit enabled the disciples to do, say, and accomplish everything that Jesus said, did, and accomplished. And that very Spirit still empowers us to do and say and accomplish everything that Jesus said, did, and accomplished. And I believe with all my heart that the Spirit still works today, just like the Spirit worked then. He is God. He has not changed. He is the same yesterday and today and forever. He is still doing through the church what Jesus began to do and what we continue to do through the power of the Holy Spirit. But here's what we need to make sure and we get today. We do not need another day of Pentecost. We don't need a repeat of the day of Pentecost. We don't need a repeat of Acts chapter 2. I want you to hear this, because the enduring miracle wasn't the outward manifestations of that initial outpouring. The enduring miracle is the inward realization that the exalted Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit lives in his church. That is the miracle of Pentecost. And we don't need a repeat of Pentecost. We just need the church to keep doing what God sent the Spirit to help us to do. All the things that Jesus did. So let it be now as it was then. Let it be now as it was then. That in his power, we will be bold witnesses of the crucified and resurrected Jesus Christ. That in his power, we will be equipped to do the ministry that Jesus began to do. That in His power, we will experience incredible joy as we faithfully follow the Lord. That in His power, Spirit-filled people will be sensitive to His voice and receive guidance and receive help. That in His power, there would be a breakthrough of the gospel today in our nation and in our culture. That in His power, leaders would be raised up and missionaries would be sent out. That in His power, disciples and churches would not just add to their number, but would multiply. That in His power, that the church would recognize men and women who are full of the Spirit. That in His power, we would daily and every moment be reminded of what Jesus taught, that in His power we would experience peace in the middle of turmoil and chaos, that in His power the world around us would be convicted of sin and righteousness and judgment, that in His power we would discern spiritual things and understand spiritual things, that in His power, because we are connected to Jesus as the vine, that we will experience fruitful lives. That in His power, we will have strength in our inner being. And that in His power, church, we in Wichita Falls in 2023 will get up from these seats and go out into the world and continue to do what Jesus began to do and to teach and to accomplish. You're still sitting there? Would you get up? Would you stand up this morning? As we go forward from here, we've spent, again, about half this series looking at the past, understanding the Holy Spirit, all through Scripture. Beginning next week, we're going to begin to answer a question that some of you who have asked me, but I received the Spirit at baptism. What are we talking about? Is there more? And that's a question a lot of people have asked through the ages. I want us to look next week at what I see in Scripture about receiving the Spirit. And then from there, we're going to start talking about what that looks like in our lives. Again, yes, as individuals, but what it looks like in the church. What it looks like in the purpose and the mission and the power and the guidance and the help that the Holy Spirit has been sent to give to those of us who are in Jesus Christ. And it all hinges on what Luke wrote in that very first verse. Jesus was able to do everything He did. As we said a few weeks ago, He was God, but He emptied Himself of that. And the Holy Spirit in Him accomplished everything that Jesus did. He did it that way, so that He could model for us what it looks like when we empty ourselves and when we let God fill us and be in us. And Jesus knew what He was talking about. He wasn't just using hyperbole or exaggeration like preachers tend to do. He said, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you are going to be able to do even more than I was able to do. He needs us to do it, church. He expects us to do it. He has equipped us and empowered us to do it. Let's pray. Father God, thank You so much for everything You accomplished in Jesus. Thank You so much for everything You accomplished on that incredible, wonderful day of Pentecost. But thank You, God, for everything that You are continuing to do and to accomplish. And thank You that You have called us to be a part of it. We're privileged, God, to be a part of Your kingdom, a part of Your family, a part of Your mission, a part of Your purpose. God, thank You that You've included us. We don't have to sit by and watch it happen. We get to be a part of what You are doing as You are calling men and women out of the world and You are saving them and You are adding them to Your kingdom. Thank You that You did it one day for us. Father, use us to do it for others. Thank You that Your very breath, Your very wind, Your very Spirit, Your very presence lives in us only because Jesus has cleansed us. We glory only in the cross, but we give thanks for what it has accomplished. And I thank you for this church, for these people. And I thank you that you have filled them. And Father, I pray that you would, in a way maybe we have not even understood or experienced before, that you would show us what it means for us to continue to do what Jesus began. I pray for that in Jesus' name, the only name that saves, the only name with power. In Jesus' name, I pray. And the church said, amen.